Have you learned the Lord's Prayer, word perfect, in the King James? Well, look at it and I'll read it all to you, especially dwelling on the fifth petition. And so in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. But now, the next verse. Verse 14. For, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The portion, the petition that we are to consider tonight is the fifth petition. We've had three petitions concerning the Father. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then there are three petitions concerning ourselves, men. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt. So, of these six petitions, listen to the next one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then after it is finished, verse 14. This is unique. He comments immediately on only one of the six petitions. Isn't that of interest? I wish our Savior had commented on them all. In Matthew 13, you have a group of parables, but we have recorded for us only some of the parables that he made comments on. But in this prayer, not one petition is less than another petition. The only difference is that some are Godward. They would be higher. They would be paramount. And some are manward. But concerning these six petitions, it is a great note that our Savior commented on only one. And that is the one that we're to consider tonight. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. So look at verse 14. For, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, this is a simple petition, but in the light of the subject of forgiveness of sin, it is very complicated, because think of the doctrine of some that after you have been saved, you attain sinless perfection. I know our Savior never expected that. Why? Because even though it is not His will, He tells us to pray. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Do you understand that? Why, if we attain sinless perfection, would such a prayer be in the Bible? And listen to this, because it's most important. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the desire of God is this: My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That is God's will. But listen to the next verse. But if any man sin. You see? So God, though He does not desire us to sin, knows what we are and anticipates our sin. And because of that, there are two that are brought into prominence when sin is committed. In this portion, we are brought into prominence. When we sin, we say, "Forgive us our debt." But in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That anticipates that Jesus is going to pray. And this is of the greatest importance. Important, first of all, because prayer is going on in heaven for us who have been born again, whether we realize it or not. And that prayer that Christ offers as our advocate is that which maintains us and keeps us and sustains us in this life, like this. When Peter was going to sin, our Savior told him he was going to. He said, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." He said, "Nevertheless, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." I thank God for that. God does not want us to sin, but he anticipates and knows that we are going to sin. And when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and we know what he's going to do when we sin. But in this portion, he tells us what we are to do when we sin, and that is to pray, "Forgive us our debt." Now, what makes this portion so complicated is the plain teaching of Scripture that when a man trusts the Lord Jesus as Savior, all of his sins are taken away. Now, if this is so, what are we talking about here? "Forgive us our debts, our trespasses." What debts and trespasses? The Lord Jesus died for our debts and our trespasses. I have no sins to ask forgiveness for. I have no sins to confess. I want you to understand that there are some people who teach that. But it's wrong, because our Savior is not going to give us this prayer, and to escape it, they would say, "Well, it's just given to the Jews." It is given to the people of God. And if this prayer is given to us, and it says our sins are all forgiven, and this is what it says in Ephesians and Colossians, it says, "Having forgiven us all trespasses." Well, if they've all been forgiven, what is this prayer for the forgiveness of our trespasses? You look at the various confessions and the various statements that God makes concerning sin and the forgiveness of sin, you will find that sin is explained and sin is presented to us in a twofold way. The forgiveness of sins is spoken of as being forgiven eternally, and sin is being spoken of as forgiven us temporarily. In the first instance, I will add two more words. The first forgiveness of sins, and that's the one that most of us think about, it is an eternal forgiveness. It is an unconditional forgiveness. And there is another point as well, which I will bring out in the will of God later on. But in the temporal forgiveness of sin, it is not unconditional, but it is conditional, and it is not forever. It is just for this world, and these things are brought to our attention, and we have to take them to heart. What does this mean? Well, if someone says, "I cannot believe," the first thing you say about sin, that the sins that Christ died for, and our sins, when they are forgiven, they cannot be all forgiven, because when we trusted in His Savior, our lives have not been lived out, and how can He forgive sins that we've never committed until we did commit those sins? That is good thinking, except for this. Let me ask you, how many sins had you committed when Jesus died on the cross? You say, I wasn't even in existence. Well then, since you hadn't committed those sins, Jesus couldn't die for those sins, could He? You say, yes, He did. He anticipated, He knew all my sin, and He died for my sin, and that is the eternal forgiveness of sin. But at the same time, having forgiven us eternally, there is also the being forgiven temporally. Now, let me show you the difference. Listen to Luke chapter 18. This is the sin that speaks about having forgiven us all trespasses. When the publican goes into the temple and beats upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to the words, God and sinner. He comes into the presence of his Creator as a sinner. And as a sinner, he cries to God for mercy. And the Lord Jesus said that his prayer was heard, and this man went home justified. Now, having as a sinner prayed to God for forgiveness, once he was forgiven, God becomes his Father, and he becomes God's child. When you pray to God the first time, God be merciful to me, a sinner, that is for salvation. But after you become a child of God, when you pray to God for forgiveness of sin, it is for restoration. In the first instance, God is not your Father. You have to be born again into the family of God. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, because it says in Acts 2 and in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when the first time as a sinner you call upon the name of the Lord, you are saved. And after that, from that day forward, whenever you call upon the name of the Lord, you're calling upon Him as one who is saved, who is a child of God, part of His family, and you are calling to your Father. So, as for your being saved, the first forgiveness of sin is eternal, it is unconditional, and it is without consequences. Thank God for that. If such a thing as sinless perfection were necessary, that we who have been forgiven enter heaven, no one would ever enter heaven. But this first forgiveness is upon the ground of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So remember, when you, no matter how ignorant you were of the Scriptures, if you were aware that you were a sinner, and that Christ had died for your sins, and you called upon the name of the Lord, then your sins were forgiven, eternally, unconditionally, and without consequences. You'll be in heaven. But now, having become a child of God, the prayer for forgiveness of sins is for you as His child, and the life that you live now that you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God holds us accountable day by day for everything we think, for everything we do, and for everything we say. And that is the temporal forgiveness of sins. And our temporal forgiveness is dependent upon our praying to God and the praying of others for us to God. We never pray the sinner's prayer again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. You can say eternally, unconditionally, and without consequences. But the temporal forgiveness of sins, it is conditional, it is temporary, and there are consequences. Listen to it. The prayer that we're praying in Matthew 6, listen carefully, is it a prayer that is the eternal or the temporal forgiveness of sins? Our Father, which art in heaven. You say that gives it away right there. It is not a sinner crying to God for the forgiveness of his sins, but it is a child praying to his Father for restoration. Now, that is of the greatest importance. Remember that. You do not pray to a father to become his child. If you pray to him as a father, you are his child. But if you are a disobedient child, you pray to the Father for forgiveness and restoration. And that is the prayer that we are praying here. And since God has put these words in our mouth, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who are indebted to us, he knows that we are going to sin. And one thing is prerequisite before we go to the Father and ask him to forgive us our sins. I'll read it to you again, but the way it's found in the Greek language, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgave them that are indebted to us. You say, well, that's a big difference. It's not you forgive and I will forgive, but I want you to forgive because I already have forgiven those that have sinned against me. And please notice, this forgiveness of sin, I told you it was conditional. It is unconditional for the sinner. You say, God, be merciful to me. Without any conditions, by grace through faith, God saves you. But once you're his child, if you want forgiveness and restoration, it is required that you first have forgiven one who sinned against you. You say, is it certain? It says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Nothing could be clearer. And you have already told him, when you pray to him, as Christ would have it, Father, I want you to forgive me because I have already forgiven my fellow man. And if that hasn't taken place first, you have no assurance that when you go into the presence of God, your sins are going to be forgiven. Well now, if a man, as a sinner, has never cried to God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he's never called upon the name of the Lord, there is the eternal consequences of his sins. It says that the ones whose names are not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. That is the eternal consequence of not having called upon the name of the Lord, having never experienced the eternal forgiveness of sin. That is what happens to us in eternity. There are other consequences in life as well, but the final consequence is the lake of fire. And thank God for us who are weak and failing. Once we have trusted Christ as Savior, he has told us that the final outcome of our calling upon the name of the Lord is salvation. Listen to this. There are some who are saved, as Job said, by the skin of their teeth. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 3. It says concerning some people that are God's servants that are supposed to build up the church. It said some build upon that foundation, and that foundation is Christ. They build gold and silver and precious stone. There will be a rich reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, some build wood and hay and stubble. And it says that when the judgment comes, the fire will test it. And what happens to wood and hay and stubble when you touch fire to it? You say it goes up in smoke and nothing is left but ashes. Yes. And this is what it says, and it's so sad. You shall be saved so as by fire. You shall suffer loss, but you shall be saved so as by fire. And so what does this mean? It means that there are some who have called upon the name of the Lord, but their life has been a miserable failure. And anything they try to do for the Lord has been something that will not abide the fire. But in spite of that they have experienced that eternal forgiveness, it says, they shall be saved, so it's by fire. But they will enter the kingdom of God, paupers. And others will enter the kingdom of God with rich rewards. Some are going to be doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. And some are going to be on Christ's right hand and on his left hand. And the position that you occupy in the world to come is dependent entirely upon you and what you do for Christ. Your being in the next world is dependent entirely upon what Christ did for you. But what place you occupy in that world to come is dependent entirely upon what you do for Christ. And also, this is something that should frighten us, because those who believe that you could be saved and lost say this. They say, why, if I'm saved eternally and I cannot be lost, why, that would give me freedom to do anything I please. That would give me license to sin. Oh, would it? What if I told you that though you will not go to hell if you truly trust in Christ as Savior, that your life on earth will be one hell if you do not walk in fellowship with him? You say, well, that's enough to bring a man to his senses. And that's exactly what he wants to do. And in Matthew 18, turn there for just a moment. Matthew 18. Because if you think that perhaps you misread it in chapter 6 about God not forgiving you if you do not forgive, let's look in chapter 18 and look at verse 21. Then came Peter and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And then he gives this parable about one man who had been forgiven, but look at verse 29. This man that is wealthy, that had been forgiven of his debt, it says in verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay that which was due. What does this mean? Here is one who has been forgiven, but he will not forgive his brother. His brother has come, acknowledges that he is indebted to him, and he prays to him to be forgiven. But it said he would not, and he grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me. Now, look at verse 32. Then his Lord called unto him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you besought me. Should you not have also had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. And that means that he is going through torment in his life on earth until all the obligations that he owed to God are paid up, all that is due. Now look at verse 35. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not everyone his brother from your heart. And that is why, if my brother came and ask forgiveness. I might not want to, but I would be afraid not to, because there are consequences on earth as if you were in the hands of the tormentors, and our Lord Jesus is the one who has brought this to our attention. So remember, it says that we must forgive. I will give you this hint because it's so important. When we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, take the first to explain the second. It says, we forgave our debtors. Well, how are you going to get forgiveness from God? You're confessing your sin. Forgive me my debts. You're confessing that you're indebted to God, and you're asking Him now for your brother to receive forgiveness. He must also do as you have to do. You have to say, forgive me my debt. It's an acknowledgement of sin, and it is an audible request to be forgiven. And it says, as we forgave our debtors. What does it mean? I read to you in chapter 18 that this man who was indebted to his fellow man came and he cried out, fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee. You see, he was doing the same thing to his fellow man, but the fellow man did to his master. Now, God forgave him, but I told you that the temporal forgiveness of sins is not unconditional, but it is conditional. And that is that you forgive as God has forgiven you. And if not, what happens? You do not go to hell. But I promise you that your life, as Christ said, will be one of torment. It will be one of hypocrisy. It will be one of deceit. It will be one of misery. It will be one of broken fellowship with God. Why? Because you have not met the conditions that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 6 and in Matthew chapter 18. And let me tell you again, no less than 3 times does he mention the absolute necessity of forgiving if you have been forgiven. He says it in Matthew 6, he says it in Matthew 18, and then you'll find it also in the Gospel of Mark, as well as in Matthew, in Mark chapter 11. And so you have to forgive. And if you do not forgive, it means one of 2 things, that you are not truly a child of God, or if you are a child of God, that you are going to experience torment throughout the rest of your life. So listen to this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here, we individually, personally, are speaking to God about ourselves. That's good. But notice, it speaks about bearing your own burdens and bearing another man's burdens. And I found 4 beautiful examples in the Old Testament about those who prayed the prayer that these in Matthew 6 did not pray. What do I mean? If you forgive not your brothers, you sin and you do not go to God and ask Him forgiveness. You'll find Moses, Samuel, Amos, and Job. Because not only when we sin are we responsible to pray to God and to come and confess that sin to our fellow man and ask forgiveness, but turn to Job chapter 41. I want you to see this, because there is the twofold side of this as well. Job 41, 42. Job 42. And Job's 3 friends have brought all these accusations against him. And so remember, I told you that you can sin in thought and word as well as deed. Listen to this. Verse 7. And it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Now therefore, take unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves the burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, that I deal not with you after your folly. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord accepted Job. And so there is not only the sacrifices that they offered, but also the intercessory prayer of Job. And that is beautiful. And you'll find that Moses, and if you can remember in Exodus, Moses, and as well as in Numbers 14, prays for the nation of Israel. And apart from Moses praying for them that had sinned, and not Israel praying for their own sin, but Moses' intercessory prayer, the nation of Israel would have been destroyed. And in like manner, in 1 Samuel, you have Samuel praying for Israel in its folly, and God has mercy. And why these are two incomparable examples is that in Jeremiah 15, the Lord brings them to our attention. He said, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my mind be toward this people. It means that God has a mind, and he intends to go in one direction, but you will find that Moses and Samuel prayed to God, and God went in another direction. But what God says in Jeremiah 15 is that if Moses and Samuel were standing before me interceding, yet would not my mind be toward this people. And so they are the two prime examples that God gives as men offering intercessory prayer. But I've read you about Job, and you may read about Amos as well, praying for the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. So, we have to pray when we ourselves sin, and we have to forgive when our brethren sin against us and come and request that. And at the same time, we have to pray for those who have perhaps fallen into sin, and they are not at that time praying for themselves. We have to pray for the mercy of God, that God may withhold these temporal, earthly consequences for the things that they've done wrong. Now, time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we see how serious this life is that is now ours as children of God. Let us know that some have misled us and made us to think that all is well and that you love us and you would never lay a finger upon us. We are thankful that your Son has spoken different words. We believe the words of your Son. We believe also what your servant Paul said about those that had unconfessed sin. They continued in sin at the Lord's Supper. Some were weak and some were sickly. Some had died, some had fallen asleep. So our Father, give us intelligence, having called upon thee the first time and received the eternal forgiveness of sins, let us day by day, when we sin in thought or word or deed, pray unto thee and have the temporal forgiveness of sins. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.